Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Friday, December 29th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. And I've got some really unique, exclusive news to share with you. And quite a story behind it. In essence, I was kind of summoned into a meeting by some high-level Texas law enforcement personnel that needed me to understand something really important about what's coming, what's about to happen. And they're actually pretty excited about it. And I'm going to share that with you here. Let me back up, though, quick background. As you know, Trump is leading the race for president of the United States. And I voted for Trump twice, and Trump also won twice, by the way, and he'll probably win a third time. And I've expressed some reservations about Trump, though, however. I don't agree with everything that he did or every single policy that he's talking about. And one of the issues that I had some reservations about recently, which is what this is all about, is his massive deportation program that he had announced. He said that if elected president again, that he would run the largest deportation program in America's history. And while I completely agree in principle on getting the illegals out of this country, after all, they have no right to be here. They broke the law to get here. And many of them are criminals. And they're tearing up our cities and our streets and our communities. I mean, they're not all bad people, but most of them are. And they should stand in line and go through the process like all the other immigrants, by the way. Yeah, we should kick them out. But my concern about that program was, what about our civil rights as Americans? I did not have any information about what this program was going to look like, because as far as I know, none of that has been publicized. I was concerned that we would see, I don't know, door-to-door, illegal alien roundup squads or something, and that we would all have to show our papers, like, are you an illegal? Or, you know, I was very concerned about what this would look like. And I expressed that publicly. And I did so with reason. You know, I'm a civil rights person. I believe in the principles of civil liberties in America, and I don't want to turn this country into a police state. And apparently, my comments caught the attention of some pretty high-level people in Texas law enforcement, which once again reminds me that some pretty connected and very important people listen to this podcast sometimes more than what I ever expect. It kind of reminds me maybe I shouldn't, you know, joke around so much, but whatever. These individuals reached out to me, and I was essentially summoned into a meeting, which I'll describe as, I don't know, a combination of being educated and a little bit of a dressing down. I was a little bit put in my place on this, and I'm not ashamed to share that with you. I had ruffled a few feathers with my comments, but now, from what they told me that I'm going to share with you here, I understand how this program is going to work, and now that I know, I fully support it. And it's not what I was afraid of. It's not going to be some civil liberties violation that's going to, you know, trample on the rights of the American people or Texans. It's not going to target people based on their ethnicity. You're not going to be targeted just because you go to a mosque, you know, just because you're Muslim, just because you're Asian looking or whatever. That's not how this is going to work. So here's what I was told. And I should preface this by saying the reason I was called into this meeting is because, well, as they told me, they know, they recognize that I'm an American. I'm a Texan. I love Texas. I love America. I am a law and order guy. You know, I've always supported law enforcement. I support our veterans, even though I don't support our current, you know, Pentagon leadership, obviously. But I'm a law and order guy, and I believe in the rule of law. And I believe that we have the right to defend our communities and to defend our nation against an invasion. And I've been the victim of illegals driving around without a driver's license, no car insurance, and slamming into my vehicle. And I see what happens to societies when illegals rush in and take over, and you get more drug crime and human trafficking crime. You get carjackings and lootings and home break-ins and more shoplifting and all kinds of things. I understand the cost to society. I see it. I mean, I live in Texas. I see it every day. But these guys understood that I care about Texas. I'm not some you know, radical left-wing lunatic who wants to see America overrun because those leftists hate America. I love America. I love what America was founded on. I love what America stands for, the real America. You know, not the twisted, distorted version that we're being subjected to by the Biden administration. I'm talking about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, you know, First Amendment, the Second Amendment. I am a huge supporter of what America was founded on and what it stands for. And so these guys understood that. And that's why I think they gave me the time to help educate me and knowing that I would share this information. So here it is. Here we go. Number one, law enforcement across Texas, by and large, they absolutely expect Trump to win the election in 2024. And they're very enthusiastic about it. They're also enthusiastic about the fact that Governor Abbott, the governor of Texas, has passed a law and signed it, you know, into enforcement that allows Texas-based law enforcement to arrest illegals for trespassing, to arrest them and charge them with trespassing. I was told that that law is so new that it's not yet clear to many sheriffs and police chiefs across the state. It's not yet clear how exactly these arrests are supposed to be made in a manner that follows the rule of that law. Apparently, there's a lot of concern that this law is going to be challenged. I mean, of course it will. Even maybe the ACLU might challenge it. And the people making the arrests and the sheriffs that are supporting them, they don't want to do anything that would give these lawsuits a chance of overturning the law. So there are some briefings that are going to be made coming up, you know, early next year, that will help inform law enforcement of how exactly they are supposed to make these arrests, how the charges are supposed to be laid out, how it's supposed to be documented, the process that happens, and so on. So in effect, the mass arrests of illegals for trespassing has not yet begun in Texas, but it's going to very early in 2024. Now then, about my concern that our civil rights would be violated. I was given information that completely laid that to rest. I was told the following, that nobody's going to go door to door. Nobody's going to be ripped out of their homes, not even illegals. Nobody's going to be separated from their families in their neighborhoods, in their homes, in their workplace. No, the way this is going to work, and this was a surprise to me. I didn't know this was how it was going to work, is that the illegals are going to be rounded up through traffic stops. That all that is necessary to deport millions of illegals from America, including many hundreds of thousands out of Texas, is to run traffic stops. Just do traffic enforcement. You enforce the speed limit, you enforce stop signs, you enforce traffic lights, and you just run a heavy enforcement traffic interdiction operation, which requires extra personnel, by the way, because a lot of these, you know, police and sheriff's departments, they're obviously on limited budgets. They don't have enough resources right now to expand this, but they hope that they can get grant money from the state of Texas and perhaps even federal grant money under Trump. And they can do this to pay for overtime, for example, of existing officers, or they can recruit new officers to do basically traffic enforcement. And the way this is going to work is that they'll just run a lot of patrol cars, you know, all over the roads and highways, and they will pull people over with more aggressive enforcement, but they won't pull you over unless they have probable cause. You have to be speeding, or you have to have made an illegal turn, or you have to have, you know, whatever, failed to stop at a stop sign, all kinds of things. So they're going to do a lot of enforcement. The main purpose of this enforcement, and they will never say this publicly, but the main purpose of this enforcement is to actually round up illegals. So when they stop somebody, you know, of course, you know, driver's license, proof of insurance, registration. At that moment, then they realize often, oh, this is an illegal. They don't have driver's license. They don't have insurance. And then there might be a bunch of felonies. I might have outstanding warrants. Who knows what else is going on? And also at the same time, there might be some Texans, some Americans who also have outstanding warrants, this and that. So they're going to do a lot of traffic stops, basically. If the driver is identified as an illegal, then they will be arrested at that moment and they will be taken to jail. And they will then be processed at the local level, typically in city or county jails. And then the hope is that under the Trump administration, these illegals could be turned over to federal authorities for deportation operations. Basically put back on buses and driven to the border with Mexico and dropped off there, or put on airplanes and flown back to Venezuela or wherever they came from. Now, Texas law enforcement, they told me that they have a problem right now, which is with their local jails being full. They don't have the capacity to put more people in the jails, by and large. And so they can't make more arrests at the moment, even under the new Texas law, because the jails are full. And the federal government doesn't want to take illegals and deport them, because, of course, it's the Biden administration. So right now, gumming up the works, so to speak, the whole reason why your communities are more dangerous is because the jails are filled with illegals, for the most part. And they're not going anywhere. They're just occupying the jail cells, which is preventing law enforcement from going out and making more arrests of the felons and the carjackers and what have you, the traffickers, you name it. But if the jails can get cleared out under a new Trump presidency, then what I'm told is that law enforcement across Texas can go make mass arrests on the roads merely through traffic stops. And that this is how they can take hundreds of thousands of illegals off the roads out of Texas, boot them out of the country without violating the civil rights of the American people. And I did not know this, obviously. I didn't realize, oh, traffic stops can do all this. Yeah, but in retrospect, thinking about it, sure enough, illegals, they're the worst drivers on the roads in Texas. Illegals, I mean, number one, they violated the law by coming to Texas illegally. So they're obviously, you know, criminals in that respect. But they typically do not have a driver's license. They don't have insurance. And they don't follow the rules of the road. Like, they'll use the shoulder as a third lane all the time. They'll pull out in front of you without any kind of yielding, you know. They'll do crazy things. The stuff that I've seen in Texas on the highways is mind-boggling. And it's almost always illegals. You can tell. You know, they're driving some old beat-up truck or something. And you drive up next to them, you know, like, okay, yeah, this person came across the border. It's pretty obvious. And those of you who live in Texas, you know what I'm talking about. So these people are going to get pulled over. And they're going to be checked out. Now, look, if they are legit Texans, then they're going to be let go with just a ticket. You know, so Americans or Texans, even if you're a Hispanic Texan, you're not going to be harassed by this. And by the way, if you're not speeding and if you're not violating traffic rules, you're not going to be pulled over anyway. I mean, this is the big aha in all of this. You can determine the level of harassment that you are subjected to by changing your driving habits. I mean, if you don't want to be pulled over, stop speeding. You know, stop rolling through stop signs, stop blowing through, you know, red lights and things like that. And you're not going to be pulled over, whether you're legal or illegal. And, you know, personally, for me, I'm almost never pulled over. I can't even remember the last time I was pulled over. I mean, the last thing I had was an illegal slamming into my vehicle, but I'm never pulled over for a few very simple reasons. Number one, believe it or not, I don't speed. I mean, I literally do not speed. I use cruise control. If the speed limit is 65, I set it on 65, and that's it. I don't push it. I don't feel like I have some special privilege to blow 80 miles an hour down some road that's 65. And also, I don't want to get in an accident and then have it be my fault because I was speeding, you know? So I do the speed limit. Secondly, my vehicle is in good mechanical shape. And every cop out there, those of you listening, you know this, the vehicles that are most likely to be driven by people with outstanding warrants and felony possession and things like that, illegal weapons, you name it, those are the vehicles that look like crap. Those are the vehicles that have very poor maintenance. It's like a rust bucket on four wheels cruising down the highway. You know, if you pull over that vehicle, you're going to find a warrant. You're going to find maybe a felon. You're going to, you know, you're going to cash in somehow. You're going to find something on that person, most likely. So for those of you who don't want to be pulled over, you know, stop speeding, stop breaking traffic laws, and keep your vehicle in good condition. You know, do the inspections as required and you know, keep your license plate up to date and all that stuff. You know, pay your tolls or whatever. Wash your car every once in a while. You know, don't drive around looking like a giant rust bucket that's about to collapse. And you're very unlikely to be pulled over unless you're driving something like a 85 Camaro or some kind of style of car that is driven by, you know, drug smugglers. And every cop knows this too. There are certain types of cars like Camaros that just drug felons are attracted to. They love those cars. They think they're awesome. Yeah, if you seriously don't ever want to get pulled over, drive a minivan. Yeah, minivan, a family minivan, you know, kind of a, looks good, keep it clean, you know, not a big construction van, not like a child trafficking van, just a minivan, like a family-friendly minivan, you know, with a snowflake dad at the steering wheel. Oh, I'm just picking up the kids, you know, that kind of minivan. You're never going to get pulled over. Not in a minivan. On the other hand, if you're driving like a 1978 El Camino, you're definitely going to get pulled over because probably that thing barely works anyway. Anyway, you get my point. This is not going to go door to door violating our civil rights, and you're not going to be subjected to checkpoints. This is what I was told. But there will be more traffic enforcement, and that's going to be the gateway to deportation. And I got to say, as a Texan, I fully support this. This is the best news I've had all week. This is great. Because number one, I'm sick and tired of all these illegals on the roads just smashing into everybody, including smashing into me. I'm sick and tired of it. I think we need more traffic enforcement, frankly. I know some of you are going to balk and like, what, you want more cops on the roads? Well, I tell you what, I certainly want fewer illegals driving on the roads. And if that means we need more cops out there taking them off the roads, then hey, I'm happy to do that. And, you know, hey, if I get pulled over for whatever reason, I know it's not speeding. Some cop pulls me over, or highway patrol or whatever pulls me over. Hey, you know, how you doing, officer? Here's my concealed carry permit. And, you know, here's my registration. How can I help you? What's up? You know, the highway patrol will be like, do you have any firearms in the vehicle, sir? My answer, yeah, all kinds. I got some cool ones. You want to see? I mean, I got a really awesome Maxim Defense pistol brace AR-15 now that that's legal again. You want to see it? It's pretty awesome. You should have one. Like, how many firearms do you want to see? No, usually law enforcement would say, okay, great, just you keep your firearms where they are, and I'll keep mine where mine is. Is that cool? Yep, that's cool. Yeah, how can I help you? What's up? I have no concerns about civil rights violations from highway patrol and law enforcement just enforcing, you know, traffic. I think that's a great answer to this whole thing. And if you think about it, then nationwide, any counties, even in blue states, right? Even in, let's say, Oregon, you got a lot of pro-constitution sheriffs in Oregon, in rural counties, that would love to be able to, you know, take a bunch of illegals off the streets, put them in jail and process them out through the border patrol and get them out of the country and make room in the jails for other felons. I mean, this is going to happen nationwide, except not in the cities, because, you know, the city police, although I know there's a county sheriff that overlaps the city jurisdiction, but the city police usually are these, you know, anti-American, anti-gun liberals, and the sanctuary cities, they're not going to endorse the arrest of any illegals for any reason whatsoever. So, yeah, guess what? You know, their cities will be overrun by illegals, and they'll have all these carjackings and kidnappings and child trafficking and whatever, and every honest citizen is going to move out of the cities. Cities like LA are already losing record tax revenues because who wants to stick around and pay for this crap, you know? People are leaving. And so these cities are just going to be collapsed hellholes, which is kind of what they have coming. I mean, they brought it on themselves. Whereas the rest of the country, if you have a good, honest sheriff in place, you can start arresting illegals via traffic violations and booting them out of the country. Now, this is going to have a huge financial benefit for the counties that decide to arrest and deport illegals using this method. Their jails will be, you know, freed up to actually then do more local enforcement of other crimes. Because, you know, in every county you have the drug smugglers and you have the pedophiles. I mean, yeah, you know, there's always a criminal element in every city and every county. But right now, a lot of counties are overrun with so many crimes carried out by illegals that they don't have time to deal with the other serious domestic local crimes that are being committed by, you know, Americans. But through this deportation process here, then those law enforcement resources will be able to focus on more of the actual, you know, American criminals and some of the things that they're doing, like drug trafficking or weapons trafficking or what have you. And that's great. I mean, I fully support that, again, because folks, you got to realize, without law enforcement, your cities would be unlivable. Your counties would be unlivable. Without law enforcement, you know, that thin blue line, you would be living in a collapsed society with no hope whatsoever. You couldn't conduct business. You couldn't go buy groceries. You couldn't get gas at a gas station. You couldn't do anything without being robbed or, you know, threatened or shaken down. So, you know, you should thank a cop today. Thank a sheriff's deputy for doing their jobs, because without them, our societies would be utterly unlivable. So being able to remove these illegal immigrants, you know, from these counties and cities and states means that more resources will be available for local operations of law enforcement all across the country. All right. Now, one other topic of interest, I brought up the question in this group meeting. I said, well, what about bounties? Is it possible that under the Trump administration, there would be bounties offered to, I don't know, bounty hunters, you know, just private people to round up illegals, and those people might get out of control? You know, bounty hunters are sometimes very, very abusive of civil liberties, and they really twist and bend the law. A lot of bounty hunters try to impersonate law enforcement, by the way. And roll up in an old cop car and kind of pretend to be a cop, you know, kind of dress up like a cop. And, you know, there's a lot of abuses of power by bounty hunters. And I'm not saying that they don't perform a service, you know, chasing down people who skipped out on bail bonds and things like that. But there are also cases of some pretty extreme abuse. So I asked about bounties, and I was told that there would most likely not be bounties offered to any, you know, bounty hunter group or person like that. Rather, and this was a surprise, that there could be bounties offered to law enforcement. So, like bonus incentives, where if you nab an illegal, you get an extra bonus in your paycheck at the end of the month. And I don't know what you think about that idea, but sounds fine to me. I mean, if you're doing your job in a corporation, if you do a good job and you get the results in any business, you get a bonus. You do a good job, you know? Well, if your job is law enforcement, your job is arresting people who are violating traffic laws and, you know, identifying illegals who are criminals for being in America and booting them out of the country, why shouldn't you get a bonus for that too? I think that should be, you know, $500 per illegal, something like that. Why not? Or $1,000. I mean, gosh, the federal government's just printing all the money anyway. It hardly matters. They're sending hundreds of billions to Ukraine and billions to Israel. And why don't we spend like $2 billion incentivizing law enforcement across America to, you know, arrest illegals and kick them out of the country? You know how quickly our streets would be cleaned up? You know how quickly crime would plummet across America, including rapes and child trafficking and, you know, drug trafficking and all that? But my point is, you know, regardless of what you think about this program, whether you're for it or against it, I don't even have a name for this program, but law enforcement, high level law enforcement people in Texas, they know that this program is coming. They believe that Trump's going to be in the White House again, and they think they're going to be given the green light to do this. And they actually have a plan of how to do it and how to do it in a way that does not violate our civil rights. And I have a great sense of relief knowing that they have considered the civil liberties issues here. That makes me feel good as a Texan. That it's not going to be just some wild west, anything goes, round them all up, kick in doors, you know. No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be done by the book, procedural arrest and identification of illegals, just from traffic stops. And by the way, that also means that illegals that don't violate traffic laws would probably never be stopped, and they would never be deported unless they got nabbed on something else, you know, like armed robbery or arrested for who knows what, noise violations or something else. But, you know, if you follow the law, then you're not going to be deported. So if you don't break the law, even if you're illegal, you don't have anything to fear about this whole program. Then again, pretty much most illegals are breaking the law all the time on the roads. So this is actually a very effective way to in effect, locate them, arrest them, and get them out. And, by the way, it's going to make Texas roads safer for the American people. Our roads are a freaking nightmare right now. I don't know if you've ever driven in Austin, Texas, but with the short on-ramps and off-ramps of the highways there, like Interstate 35, and just the crazy driving, it's a nightmare. And I know those of you in L.A., you're like, that's nothing. You know, you should come to L.A. That's even worse. And then those of you in New York City, you're like, that's nothing. You should drive in New York City. Okay, I get it. But there's a lot of fatalities because of the bad driving habits of illegals in particular, many of whom they bring their South American driving habits up into Texas. And the rules of the road are different. And I know, I mean, I lived in South America. They are different rules. And in many ways, there are no rules. And so a lot of South American drivers, they just come into Texas and they just drive like they're still in Venezuela or Mexico. And they cause accidents. Because, you know, other drivers aren't anticipating this kind of driving, which is basically lawless driving. It's just like any lane is okay, or take up two lanes, or any shoulder, just pull out at any moment, let other people deal with it. Like that's kind of the attitude in Mexico City, for example. But that gets people killed in Texas. So bottom line here, law enforcement in Texas, I mean, this is just to summarize, law enforcement in Texas expects Trump to become president. They are anticipating Trump rolling out this massive deportation program. The deportation program will find people basically through traffic stops. And that, there's something else I was told, that they can run traffic stops. They could round up hundreds of thousands of people across Texas in just a few weeks with traffic stops alone, just by having more personnel, just having the hours. In fact, a lot of these counties have the vehicles. They just don't have the personnel with the hours. And in many counties, all they need is overtime hour budgets. There's plenty of officers and deputies that would gladly work overtime to just run a speed trap on a certain stretch of road where they can catch somebody every 5 seconds, you know? I mean, they don't have to sit there long and there's somebody speeding, probably a felon, probably someone with, you know, a warrant or something. They can catch people all day long, but they need the budget for it. The department needs the budget. So if the federal government can offer them that grant money and say, look, you're authorized for, you know, 5,000 extra hours this month for this county, and here's the grant from the federal government, we're going to pay time and a half or double time or whatever they earn. We're going to pay for your deputies to go out there and just run these speed traps and catch these illegals. Then there's plenty of deputies that are going to sign up for, you know, time and a half pay and work 10, 15 extra hours a week. And week by week, we're going to be catching these illegals, processing them, and deporting them. And in the span of about a year, you're going to notice that society is safer. You're going to see a rapid decline in traffic accidents, in rapes, in home invasions, kidnappings, drug trafficking, weapons trafficking, on and on and on, man. society is going to become safer. And this could actually happen. So that's the message that I was told. And I was chided a little bit because I was wrong about my assessment of this. I was afraid this is going to be some giant like door kicking operation by, I don't know, illegal roundup squads or something. And it's not going to be that at all. So I'm glad to know that. Oh, one other thing. I mentioned Second Amendment issues, and it was confirmed to me that almost all law enforcement in Texas strongly encourages people to own guns, but especially sheriffs. They want more citizens to own more guns and be ready for whatever happens and you know, use them responsibly, obviously, and have good training and understand gun safety and all that. But Texas law enforcement, except for a few police chiefs like Austin, Texas, or other sort of libtard cities, except for them, almost all law enforcement in Texas wants citizens to be armed. And so you can help that by purchasing more firearms if you're in Texas, or purchasing a better firearm and getting better training, you know, making sure you're up to speed. Now, obviously, you know, control your firearm. Don't let it get into the hands of kids, or don't let it be stolen and go into the hands of drug gangs or things like that. So, you know, practice sensible gun safety and gun security, obviously. But carry your gun. And every time that I've talked to a member of law enforcement about concealed carry, they've always supported concealed carry. I mean, I've never met a cop or a sheriff's deputy that didn't appreciate citizens being armed. And these days, cops sometimes, man, they get into a bind and they need a citizen assist on something like an arrest, or in rare cases, you know, a shootout type of situation. I'm not saying you should just wade into, you know, a firefight, but there may be circumstances, although rare, where, you know, armed citizen can help save the life of a deputy or a police officer against, you know, some violent criminal that's doing crazy things and endangering the public. I mean, you just never know. But it's better to carry the gun and not need it than to need one and not have it. That's for sure. You know, along those lines, I'm going to plug a non-sponsor, but a company that I love, 1791gunleather.com. I'm just going to plug them because now they did give me some free gear for evaluation. That was a while back. But they offer these holsters, and I think they're called Ultra Custom. They're the best holsters that I've ever found, and I've run into the issue. I'll explain why. They're totally unique. Game changer. I've run into the issue over the years of breaking holsters all the time. Kydex holsters, or hybrid holsters that are part fabric and part Kydex, or part leather and part Kydex. I keep breaking those things. The Kydex always breaks, for whatever reason. You know, I'm very active. You know, I'm wearing my gun all the time, and I'm out on the ranch, and, you know, I'm working on my tractor, I'm feeding the donkeys, whatever, I'm doing stuff. And, you know, I admit sometimes I'm walking through a doorway or whatever, and then the butt of my gun gets caught and probably puts extra pressure on the Kydex. And for whatever reason, I'm always ripping the Kydex apart. And I've gone through so many holsters over the years, and I just could not find anything that would hold up to the abuse that I dish out. Well, this company, 1791gunleather.com, they have a holster that has a polymer layer sandwiched in between two layers of leather. And when you heat it up, you put it in a plastic bag, you drop it in water at about 165 degrees Fahrenheit, you heat it up, and it becomes soft. And you then mold the holster around your gun, your pistol, whatever it is. And they sell about 6 or 7 different size holsters, and that's it. And it fits every gun you can imagine, including guns with lights, by the way. Those of you who are running your favorite, you know, O lights or whatever, you can get one of their holsters that supports a light. So you heat it up, you put your gun in the holster, you mold it around your gun, you know, make sure your gun's unloaded, obviously, don't be an idiot. And you actually put it on your belt and you tighten it up, and then you let that thing cool down. And when it cools down, the polymer inside the leather has now permanently formed the shape of your gun, with good retention too. Good retention in the trigger guard, if you do it right. It's great. And if you screw it up, all you got to do is reheat the holster and you can reform it. And if you change your gun, like I recently went from a SIG P320 to a Glock 19, and then I went from a Glock 19 to a Glock 43X. And I just like the 43X with the steel magazines from shieldarms.com. Best magazines ever for Glocks, by the way. But I changed the gun, and all I had to do was reheat this holster and then just reform it around the new gun. So this, you can buy one holster, okay, from $17.91 gun leather. And I don't earn anything on your sales, by the way. They don't pay me a commission. Occasionally they send me something for free to evaluate. But I'm not, you know, an official affiliate or anything like that. But you can get one holster that will work for an M&P Shield. It'll work for a Sig Sauer pistol. It'll work for a Glock. It'll work for, you know, Shadow Systems. What I mean, almost any kind of, you know, mid-sized pistol, it will work for it. Or if you want a subcompact pistol, they have a different holster for that. It fits all the subcompacts. You know, the P365 from Sig, or the Glock. What are the models from Glock that are the subcompacts? It is like the Glock 30. I don't know all the. Glock 26, yeah, like the 9mm Glock. Anyway, you get the idea. So folks, look, make sure that you carry concealed. Use a good holster like the one I'm talking about here. Make sure you get proper training. Make sure you've got good supply of ammo. And be ready. Be ready for what's coming. Because when Trump gets elected, which is what it looks like is going to happen, the military is now behind Trump, like deep inside the military. The real movers and shakers, they're tired of all this nonsense of the U.S. military being defeated because of Biden and you know, Lloyd Austin and all these other lunatics. The military wants Trump back, let me tell you. Trump's coming back in, and then we're going to have a big announcement of massive deportations, and then the left is going to go insane. They're going to lose their bleep. They're going to try to start a civil war at that point. And that's when we need to support local law enforcement. We need to be safe ourselves. We need to conceal carry. You might want to consider body armor. I don't know how crazy it's going to get. I guess it depends on the area. But the left is going to try to start a civil war way beyond anything they did in 2020 with Black Lives Matter and Antifa uprising and all that lunacy. It's going to be that on steroids at this point. And some of these occupiers, these illegals that came in, these military-age young men, they may be activated at that point to start waging warfare domestically inside CONUS here, where they start attacking infrastructure, you know, refineries and power substations, and they might even attack police stations and sheriff stations and so on. So those of you in law enforcement listening, I hope that you are, you know, anticipating some of this. Be safe. Make sure you've got, you know, plenty of ammo. Carry it, man. I hate seeing cops with only one spare magazine. You know, that's not enough these days. Not with what's coming. One spare mag? You know, think again, man. If you're a cop, you should have two or three spare mags. You know, really. And what I like to do, what I recommend is, you know, have your spare mag be a higher capacity than your regular mag. And so if you need to reload, you know, you've got like 25 rounds or something like that. I guess it just depends on what you're allowed to carry and how much space you have left on your belt, you know, after everything else, handcuffs, baton, flashlight, you know, radio, all this stuff. If you've got any space left, put a spare mag on there. It's always good to have more ammo than you need. And then finally, one more plug, make sure you've got backup comms, you know, even cops. If your local radio system goes down, how are you going to communicate? You know, satellite phones. That's the answer. Satellite phones. SAT123.com. That is our sponsor in that space. They're not even open this week, but they'll open up next week if you want to give them a call. SAT123.com. Check out the website. Get yourself a satellite phone. Maybe your whole department gets satellite phones. And for you in law enforcement, did you know that you can get push-to-talk satellite walkie-talkies? Those are the best. My friends down at the Texas border use those now all the time. As long as you have a view of the sky, you know, you just hold up radio, you know, you press the button, you wait for it to beep, which takes like half a second, and then you start talking. And then everybody else on your team gets that message, no matter where they are, because it's satellite. It's not line of sight radio. It's actually satellite comms. It's a satellite PTT or push to talk radio. Law enforcement teams love this. Search and rescue, they love this. You know, outdoors, you know, first responders of all kinds, you know, FEMA responders, ambulance drivers. I mean, everybody loves these things because they almost never fail. As long as you can see the sky, you can communicate with your team. Anyway, you can check all those out at the satellite phone store. Again, SAT123.com. So that's my report on the massive deportation campaign that Trump is going to roll out across America. And if it rolls out in the way that I've described here, the way that I've been told, I have to say, I fully support it. And although I don't agree with every single thing that Trump is likely to do, I do realize that if we want an America remaining at all, Trump seems to be the only viable candidate right now that is willing to build a wall and deport the illegals. I mean, who else is going to do it? So it's kind of like, you know, vote for Trump or lose your country at this point. It's kind of the way it's shaping up. A lot of the other issues almost have to take a back seat. You know, I'm not thrilled about Trump and his ties with Pfizer, for example, or, you know, Trump pushing Operation Warp Speed in the vaccines. But you know what? That's got to take a back seat to this whole invasion issue. If we don't get our country back, if we don't stop this occupation of illegals, we don't even have a country. You know, Big Pharma becomes irrelevant if you lose your homeland. You lose your country. And we have a treasonous Department of Homeland Security under Biden with Alejandro Mayorkas, who's there lying to you and saying, we don't have a border problem. Yeah, the border is secure, he said. I mean, he testified the border is secure. Like, how the hell do you define secure, sir? The border is secure? Man, I hope your home is more secure than the border. Are you saying your home is secure too? Does that mean that you leave your front door and your back door wide open and everybody comes in and just uses your toilet anytime they want? Is your home secure like that? How can you say the border is secure? No, the border is wide freaking open. It's almost a drive-through. Like, come on in, because that's what the Democrats want, because they hate America. They want to see America overrun. Well, I'm just glad to know that Texas law enforcement has a plan. Trump has a plan to stop that invasion and take our country back from the military age illegal males who are planning to overthrow it from within. But your support is going to be necessary to achieve this outcome. If you want a country remaining, I think we got to get Trump in the White House is kind of what I'm getting at here. Despite our other reservations, I think he's the only one who's going to actually defend the border and, you know, provide federal support for deportations. But I don't know. You tell me. Sound off in the comments. Am I missing something here? Is there some other better idea of how to do this? I'm not aware of one, but I'm open to suggestions if I'm missing something. All right, continuing with additional news. I've got some amazing interviews that I've already conducted, but I've held off on publishing them during this break because not as many people are, you know, paying attention. It'll be after the first of the year. But I've got an interview done with Liz Gunn, for example, out of New Zealand. What's his name? Barry Young? He's the data administrator who was, you know, arrested and criminally charged for daring to tell the truth about post-vaccine fatalities. Yeah, amazing. So that interview is done. Can't wait to show that to you. Also, I've got interviews coming up that I think you will find amazing. First of all, I'm interviewing David Webb from The Great Taking. And remember David Webb, I did a whole episode about his documentary and his book. And you can find him at thegreattaking.com. You know, he's a former hedge fund manager, and he has found and documented the evidence that during the next great financial reset that's being engineered, they're going to take everybody's assets. They're going to take bank accounts. They're going to take people's stocks and bonds. They're going to take a lot of people's homes, even if they've been paid off. And they're going to take a lot of people's cars and so on. And if you haven't seen that documentary, which is really kind of an interview format, it's a great thing. I mean, it's very important to watch that. But I can't wait to interview David Webb. I'm also interviewing, coming up, so many amazing people. Zach Voorhees, I'll be interviewing him about the rise of AI. He's a former, you know, Google engineer and a real genius on embedded systems, for example. Can't wait to interview Zach Voorhees. Been far too long since I had him on. And then Steve Deese, who's the producer of the Nefarious movie. And that's the movie. If you didn't see it, it's something, such great filmmaking. It's the movie where this prisoner who is infested by Satan is being interrogated by, a law enforcement psychiatrist. And most of the film takes place set in this jail or this prison. But it is one of the most horrifying psychological and spiritual thrillers that I've ever seen. The movie was very powerful. And it has a pro-Christian message, by the way, that I think you will find, well, especially interesting. But horrifying, too. I mean, just, that movie, it gives you chills. It's like, it's really scary. It's psychologically scary. Anyway, we have a lot of other interviews coming up, too. They're just mind-blowing. Don't forget that tomorrow, which is December 30th, a Saturday, you'll be able to begin watching Personal Energy Preparedness with Francesco Garipoli. And you can just go to brightyou.com, register for free. You can watch the entire series for free, one episode loops each day. And then the next day, episode two begins, you know, that would be Sunday, and then Monday, episode three, and so on. And you can watch the whole thing for free. Or alternatively, if you wish, you can purchase the full download and watch it anytime you want. And we split revenues with, the creator of the series, which would be Francesco in this case. And he's got this amazing retreat, and he trains people how to be spiritually prepared and mental health preparedness and so much more, getting us ready for the times that are coming. So be sure to sign up for that. And you're only going to need about an hour a day, roughly, to watch that. And you can pick almost any hour you want. Now, getting to some other important news. The Secretary of State of the state of Maine has decided herself to remove Donald Trump from the primary ballot, citing, of course, the insurrection clause of the 14th Amendment. So she alone, and she's probably unelected, has decided to screw with the entire national election of the United States of America. And this is what Democrats now believe in. Yes, Democrats rigged the election in 2020. Yes, they stuffed the ballot boxes. I mean, yes, they're cheaters and liars and fraudsters. But now it's just so blatant. Now they're just saying, well, you're not allowed to vote for Donald J. Trump, which, as I said earlier, just makes me want to vote for Trump even more, you know, despite my reservations about Trump on a couple of issues. But with this, is like, oh, you say I can't vote for Trump? Well, I'm going to vote for Trump, you know. 2 seconds after the ballot box is open, I'm going to vote for Trump right away. I would say I would vote for Trump twice, but I don't commit voting fraud. That's something Democrats do. You know, they will vote for Joe Biden 50 times or just run the same ballots over and over and over again. Because for some reason, there are no serial numbers on our ballots. That's insane. I mean, how can we even consider ourselves to be a first world nation, an advanced nation? Or how can we even claim to have honest elections when the ballots don't have serial numbers? How do we know the ballots were only scanned once? Well, and the answer is, we don't. And this is what the Democrats do in every election. They take the same stack of ballots and they just scan it over and over and over again until they get the number of votes they need. That's why they shut things down, you know, on election night, and then they claim to have a water pipe leak somewhere, and then, you know, everybody goes to bed and you wake up in the morning and it's like, oh, Biden won. Huh? How did that happen? Well, you know, all these votes came in overnight. What do you mean votes came in overnight? Oh, you ran the same Biden faked ballots over and over and over and over again until you got the numbers that you needed, and then you stole the election. That's what happened. So now Democrats are just saying, well, you know, we're just going to take Trump off the ballot. Which completely outside any due process, of course, because Trump has never been even charged with any act of insurrection. He has never been found guilty of any act of insurrection. There hasn't even been any evidence presented that would mean that he would be guilty of an act of insurrection. Trump questioned some elements of the stolen 2020 election, and he was right to question those elements. We all question those elements. Are we all committing an insurrection? Of course not. That's absurd. But these Democrats, let me tell you, these Democrats despise democracy. They shouldn't even be allowed to call themselves Democrats, because the name means those who espouse democracy. They're not Democrats. They're demon rats. They're demonic. They should be required to put an N in there. Demon rats, demon craps, demon crips. I don't know. They're like a gang of demons, demon crips. How about that? They're just the worst people imaginable. They're not even faking like they're good people anymore. They're not even faking like they support democracy. They're not even pretending that they're going to have an honest election anymore. It's just like, you're only allowed to vote for the people that we say you can vote for, and that's it. We're going to take Trump off the ballot. It's like they're begging for a civil war, right? They're begging for it. They've run out of plays. They've run out of scams. And the only option they have now is to try to provoke an uprising in America, which is why I've said it's important to not take that bait. You know, don't participate in an uprising. Instead, you know, get out and vote against the Democrats. No matter who you vote for, make sure you vote against the Democrats, because they are cheaters. They are fraudsters. They are liars. They are un-American. You know, this Secretary of State of Maine, frankly, I think she should be arrested and have her citizenship revoked. They should deport her. You don't believe in elections? You don't believe the voters can choose whoever they want? Well, you don't deserve to be an American. Now, I'm not saying to bring any harm to her or threaten her or anything like that, although I'm sure some wackos online are going to probably send her all kinds of threats, which is that's the wrong thing to do. But I do think that she should have her citizenship revoked, because she's disqualified from being an American. Same thing with all those Supreme Court justices in Colorado. Those four, you vote to remove Trump from the ballot, guess what? You just defaulted on your citizenship. You don't get to be an American anymore. You pull that kind of shenanigan. America is supposed to be based on the premise that, number one, we have free speech. So what if you don't like my speech? You don't get to silence me. And then secondly, we get to vote for whomever we want. It's supposed to be a representative constitutional republic, really. Or you could say a representative democracy, but it's not actually a democracy. But it's supposed to follow democratic ideals of representation, and that the people get to vote. And like I said in an earlier podcast, you know, these people, this woman in Maine and these people in Colorado, they have broken the social contract of what it means to participate in democracy. Remember, the social contract says that you have to pay your taxes because you get to vote for the person who represents you and determines how those taxes are spent. It's a contract. You know, it's an agreement. But if you don't get to vote for who you want to vote for, why should you ever pay taxes? Because that's taxation without representation, which is one of the big issues that the Revolutionary War was fought over, by the way. So I said earlier, why should anybody in the state of Colorado ever pay taxes again in the state of Colorado when the Supreme Court rules that you're not allowed to vote for the person you want to be president? Why should you pay taxes there? Same thing now in Maine. Why should you ever pay taxes in the state of Maine ever again? Because they've said, you know, screw you. You're not allowed to vote for Trump. That's taxation without representation. So what? You're supposed to pay taxes and then let them choose another Joe Biden zombie or some, you know, gruesome Newsom out of California? I mean, this is insane. I think that once Trump becomes president again, he should have these people arrested for an actual insurrection. Because what this woman is doing in Maine, that's an act of insurrection. To deny Trump access on the ballot? Or what the Supreme Court of the state of Colorado did to deny Trump? That's an act of insurrection. And frankly, election rigging is an act of insurrection. So all those Democrats that rigged the election in 2020 and also 2022, don't forget that. Remember when the red wave didn't materialize because it was actually a blue tsunami of fraud? Yeah, all those people should be arrested, in my opinion, and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And you know how the left is so afraid that Trump is going to become, I don't know, what are the terms they use? He's going to become a dictator. Wait a second. You Democrats want to be dictators. You're acting like dictators because what you're doing, removing Trump from the ballot, that's the kind of thing that dictators do in banana republics. You know, that's exactly what dictators do. And dictators shut down the press that they don't like. That's exactly what Democrats have done. And dictators criminalize their opposition and have them thrown in prison. And that's exactly what Democrats are doing. Democrats are acting like dictators. I think it's time to give Trump a shot. And frankly, I would be willing to write Trump pretty much a blank check. If you want to use police powers to go after these insurrectionists, these traitors, and also all these illegals that are committing crimes all across America. You know what? I mean, we've tried the Democrat way as a nation, and look where we are now. Overrun, invaded, economy in shambles, losing the war with Russia. I mean, this has not gone well. We are in a dire situation right now because of what the Democrats have done. I'm willing to give Trump a shot with almost a blank check. It's like, it would be like, Trump, you know, invoke the emergency powers. This is an emergency. Trump should invoke the Insurrection Act, frankly, and he should have all these people arrested because they are destroying our nation. They are the fascists. They are the ones denying us access to vote, denying us our First Amendment rights. The Biden regime has colluded with big tech to silence people like myself and my platforms and channels because they don't want us to be able to speak. And this is another way they rig elections, is through censorship. You know, enough is enough. We're being invaded. We're being overrun. Our Constitution has been shredded by these Democrats. You know, we've got to change course here. And we've got to do it immediately. You know, these people on the left say, well, Trump might abuse power. Abuse power? Look in the mirror, you morons. You're abusing power every single day. The Democrats rigged elections. I mean, they abused the DAs. They've abused the DOJ. They've abused the power of the FBI. They've weaponized everything against the American people and against Trump supporters. Talk about abuse of power. That practically defines the Democrat Party. I mean, the Democrat Party is so freaking corrupt that RFK Jr. had to leave the Democrat Party. And he's a classic liberal Democrat. And even he said, this is too insane. I can't be part of this. That's why he's running as an independent. So, you know, once again, everything the Democrats accuse Trump of maybe wanting to do in the future, those are things the Democrats are doing now. Oh, he might be a dictator. Well, you're doing that. Oh, he might abuse power. You're abusing power. Oh, he might abuse civil liberties. Well, you're abusing civil liberties, for God's sake, with all your censorship. And your critical race theory war on white people for some reason all across America. Like, whites are bad now everywhere in every TV show. It's like in every movie. What? I mean, what is this, a war on white people for some reason? It just makes no sense. Okay, shifting gears here. A little bit of news about the Middle East. Oh, this is always a crazy trip. This is out of the UK Daily Mail. President of Turkey, Erdogan, has now compared Bibi Netanyahu to Hitler. The headline says, in a vicious swipe at the Israeli prime minister over the conflict in Gaza. Of course, Erdogan is not the only person who has noticed that Netanyahu's tactics resemble those of Adolf Hitler. This is from the story. He, quote, compared Israel's attacks on Gaza to the treatment of Jewish people by the Nazis. He said Western countries supporting Israel were complicit in what he called war crimes. That's true. Adding that Turkey would welcome academics and scientists facing persecution for their views on the conflict. Right, because you're not allowed to criticize Israel, even if they're bombing civilians, right? He said, quote, they used to speak ill of Hitler. And then he asked, what difference do you have from Hitler? They're going to, what? He says, is what this Netanyahu is doing any less than what Hitler did? It is not. He said, he is richer than Hitler. He gets support from the West, which, by the way, the Western banks also support Hitler, in case you didn't know that. All sorts of support comes from the United States. And what did they do with all the support? They killed more than 20,000 Gazans. This is what Erdogan is saying. And then Netanyahu criticize Erdogan in return, said that Erdogan commits genocide against the Kurds. You know, again, this is Netanyahu who claims he's not committing genocide by killing 25,000 Palestinians. He's accusing Turkey of committing genocide against the Kurds. And he says that Erdogan imprisons journalists who oppose his rule. Well, my goodness, Netanyahu, have you seen what happens in the United States if you are a journalist who writes anything critical of Israel? You get threatened and you lose your job. So, you know, you want to talk about freedom of the press. You don't have that in Israel. You don't even have that in the United States. And then adding to the insanity of the situation, Senator Lindsey Graham, a no limit Lindsey, that's what I call him. He says that the U.S. should bomb Iranian oil fields and the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC headquarters, in retaliation for the Houthi attacks on ships in the Red Sea. He said, I mean, this guy's insane. Lindsey Graham is completely freaking bonkers. I mean, talk about a clown and a warmonger. Here's what he says, quote, I've been saying for 6 months now, hit Iran. That's the way he would say it. They have oil fields out in the open. They have the Revolutionary Guard headquarters. You can see it from space. Blow it off the map, he says. Blow it off the map. Is it any wonder the rest of the world hates America's leadership right now when you have lunatics like Lindsey Graham? What justification could you possibly have for bombing Iran's oil fields? And, I mean, this guy just wants to start a war with Iran, just at any cost. He's obviously being paid by the military-industrial complex, and they need more contracts for more weapons, you know? So they need a war with Iran. And they want to provoke Iran into some kind of war so that the U.S. Navy can fire off all its missiles and then go home and load up with a bunch of new missiles, and then, you know, everybody can make a bunch of money in the defense industry. This is what Lindsey Graham stands for, is just the defense industry and not America. He doesn't care about human beings. He doesn't care about lives lost, even U.S. Navy sailors. I mean, what do you think Iran is going to do if the U.S. starts bombing its oil fields? Well, Iran is going to sink naval vessels that are just sitting right there, which is probably all on purpose. You know, the Navy has put aircraft carriers right there in the Persian Gulf and in the Strait of Hormuz. Is like, it's saying, you know, nah, 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 you can't hit us. Well, guess what? Iran can hit you. And we should be thankful that Iran has so far, you know, exhibited some discipline, unlike Senator Lindsey Graham. And I sent out a tweet on this, and I said, you know, Lindsey Graham has actually become John McCain. John McCain, one of the worst traitors and warmongers in the history of America, you know, a senator and a traitor, GOP in name only, one of these globalist rhinos who always wanted to start wars with everybody. John McCain is one of the most disgusting senators to have ever, quote, served in America. I mean, the damage that John McCain did to the United States and the world is so horrendous that, you know, frankly, we would have all been better off if he had never become a senator. And now Lindsey Graham is trying to out McCain. I mean, what's the deal? Does Graham want like an aircraft carrier named after him? The Graham carrier? Given that he's also a really white guy, could we call it the Graham cracker carrier? I'm just curious. I don't know. I'm allowed to make such statements being that my skin is also white. So yeah, I think we have the Graham cracker carrier strike force group right off the coast of Iran, you know, begging to get bombed because that's what Graham cracker wants. And then in one other unrelated piece of news, we have the World Health Organization head, Tedros, what is it? How do you pronounce his name? Tedros. He says that it's time to declare war on meat and farming in order to fight climate change. This story comes out of the Post-Millennial, and it quotes Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. I'm sure everybody has trouble with his name. I apologize. Tedros, he's the head of the WHO. He says, quote, Our food systems are harming the health of people and the planet. Food systems, he says, contribute to over 30% of greenhouse gas emissions and account for almost one third of the global burden of disease. I mean, you hear what he's saying? That if we produce food, the planet is doomed. Therefore, we have to shut down all the farms. And then there's no discussion about how this might cause, I don't know, global famine and depopulation, mass starvation. I mean, how can the WHO declare war on farms and food systems? I mean, what kind of idiot does it take to say that producing food might destroy the planet? No, producing food feeds the people. Producing food does not destroy the planet. And he says that we have to shift into healthier, diversified, and more plant-based diets. But by plant-based diets, what they mean is all this, you know, processed, genetically modified soy garbage with extra MSG, you know, veggie patties and whatever, you know, fake meat and artificial meat. That's not healthier for people, and it's not healthier for the planet. There's a lot of road miles on all those toxic chemical ingredients, by the way. Not healthier for people. That would kill more people. But anyway, he says, if food systems deliver healthy diets for all, we could save 8 million lives per year. Well, how come he's not supporting organic agriculture then, huh? I mean, yeah, if we stop spraying our food with toxic pesticides and herbicides, we could save a lot more than 8 million lives per year. But I don't see the WHO out there saying that pesticides and herbicides and glyphosate and atrazine are all bad. He's just saying no such thing. He's just saying farming is bad. Oh, you can't have meat. So what are you supposed to do? Like, suck on a soy burger all day long? These people are insane. But it's clear what this is going to look like now, right? The globalist attack on farms is going to say, well, if you're farming, you're destroying the planet. So your farming is an act of violence against Earth. That's what they're going to say. And then they're going to use that as a justification to shut down your farms and shut down your farm animal operations, you know, your cattle, everything. And they're doing this in the Netherlands, and they're doing this in Ireland and other places across Western Europe. You notice they're not doing this in China or in Russia. I mean, this is a mass famine shutdown of the West. They're doing this in Canada. They're doing it in Australia and New Zealand. You know, they're not doing it in China. They're not doing it in South America. They're not doing it in Africa. They're not doing it in Russia. This is a shutdown of the West. This is the destruction of Western civilization. No food, no farms, no population, folks, no future. That's what this is about. And frankly, if you really want to have a good future with food, you need to start growing more nutritious foods. Yeah, without pesticides, without glyphosate, without, you know, gender bender chemical atrazine and other herbicides. That's what you need to be doing, but no one's talking about that. All right. Going to shift gears here. Also, I do not have an interview for you today because I'm saving them for after the new year, but I do have a special report that outlines what I'm seeing as the most likely course of events to take place over the next 2 years in the United States. And it's pretty ugly stuff. I'm going to release that separately, but I'll also put it here for you. In the meantime, thank you for your support. And be sure to check us out, healthrangerstore.com. We have storable food, long-term preparedness, certified organic, laboratory-tested, freeze-dried fruits, which are missing from most people's diets in terms of storable food. And at one point, we even had organic heavy cream powder, but I think we're out of that. We're getting more in stock, but man, the supply lines on that are very difficult. Same thing with the powdered, freeze-dried cheddar cheese. Very difficult to get. And it took us months to get our last shipment of whey protein in, by the way, you know, certified organic. And we can really help you get squared away with food. Oh, we also have ARC seeds. We have the seed kits, you know, the non-GMO heirloom seeds. So check those out in our online store, healthrangerstore.com. Just search for seed kits. And also don't forget, we have the amazing knives that I co-designed with Dawson Knives. We have also Escape from LA. That's one of the knives I designed. which has very special features, very popular knife. People love that knife. I don't know if we have any in stock actually at the moment, because it's been hard to keep those in, but if we have them, they'll be in our online store. Just go to healthrangerstore.com and search for knife, and you'll see the, I think it's four different knives that we have available right now. Extremely heavy duty, rugged, and also corrosion resistant, almost corrosion proof because of the Magna Cut steel alloy that we use in those knives. Amazing quality knives. Buy it once for a lifetime. That's how good these knives are. So again, check those out, healthrangerstore.com. Now enjoy this special report. Thanks for listening. Welcome to this special report. Mike Adams here with a series of events that may unfold in 2024 and 2025, especially after the election. These are not predictions. This is just one course of action. But at the moment, based on what we know right now, and various sources, and also my recent meetings with top connected law enforcement in Texas, I believe this is the most likely sequence of events to take place. And none of it's pretty. None of it's pretty. And this actually coincides with that mainstream media talking head gal. I think she was on Face the Nation talking about a black swan event. That's her fear that something is going to happen in 2024. That she calls a black swan event, something major, something with huge national security implications. And yeah, of course, I mean, they're planning it. And so here's the series of events. Number one, Trump gets reinstalled into the White House. And the reason I believe this is because, well, sources inside the military intelligence and the deepest, let's say, movers and shakers inside the military, not the public faces, but the actual power people, they desperately want Trump back because the Biden regime and all of the, dare I say, woke-tard, you know, wokey wokester, you know, Lloyd Austin and all these highly decorated clown generals and what have you, they are destroying the military. America's military is in shambles today compared to where it was under Trump. And it didn't take long. You know, the defeat of the military in Afghanistan and also, by the way, the defeat of the U.S. military in Ukraine. The U.S. lost to Russia. And we've run out of munitions. Our technology doesn't work. We don't even have hypersonic missiles. Recruitment goals aren't being met. Nobody wants to join the woke-tard military. It's all in shambles. And so the military wants Trump back in office desperately, and they are going to pull some levers, let's say, to make that happen. This is why I think Trump is going to be, well, he'll have his third victory as president if we make it to election day. There are elements, of course, that are trying to halt that election from even happening, but there are other elements inside the military and pro-America elements in the deep state that are trying to stop that. So hopefully we make it to election day and Trump wins again. Anyway, point number one here is that Trump gets put back into office. All right. Number two, Trump then activates his mass deportation initiative. And I've been briefed on some details of this by some well-connected, highly experienced, high-level people in Texas law enforcement. I did a separate podcast on that. The Trump deportation initiative will effectively do two things. Number one, it will allow local law enforcement to empty their jails of the illegals they're holding because Trump's federal administration will transport those illegals back to where they came from. So you're going to have buses and planes running 24/7, deporting illegals and dropping them off in Mexico or Venezuela or El Salvador, wherever they came from. Even, I guess, Haiti and other places. This is going to be a big operation, and a lot of local law enforcement are all in favor of this. In addition, there will likely be federal grant money provided by the Trump administration to cover the additional local law enforcement salaries that are necessary to carry out the arrests and deportation of these illegals. And one of the key parts of this plan, as I understand it, is that they won't be going door to door, kicking in doors and ripping people out of their homes. It's not going to work like that. That was one of my concerns, because I support civil liberties, you know, and I'm a humanitarian. I'm a compassionate person. I don't want to see people, you know, like hunted down by bounty hunters and treated like animals. No, instead, the way this is going to work is that there will be aggressive traffic enforcement in all the states that want to participate and all the counties that want to participate. Aggressive traffic enforcement. And anytime they do a traffic stop on somebody who turns out to be an illegal, they will be arrested on the spot and they will be deported. And so, you know, they're not going to go door to door. They're just going to stop people for speeding and rolling through stop signs and things like that. But that takes a lot of manpower and it takes a lot of funding that many counties don't have. So they're going to rely on federal funds for that to take place. The bottom line, though, is that Trump is going to push a lot of money into local communities and sheriff's departments and police departments and so on in order to have the extra manpower time and I guess some woman power as well. There are female law enforcement that will be part of this, and they're going to arrest and deport potentially, you know, millions of illegals. Now, as this is happening, then we get to point number three. The radical left, the same left-wing lunatics funded by globalist money, you know, and George Soros operations, the same people that ran these anti-Trump protests in 2020, they're going to go completely nuts. They're going to have a mass uprising and try to start a civil war across America. And they're also going to activate all of the occupying military age men who have crossed the border illegally and have been placed in cities across America, mostly sanctuary cities. So you're going to see a massive civil war, city by city, county by county, a massive uprising, a purge, if you will, of these occupying forces combined with radical anti-American leftists who will be trying to initiate an actual revolution and total chaos in order to overthrow the Trump administration. That will be their goal. This is kind of like the Red China Maoist revolution. That's what it's going to look like. But the cities that will burn the most will be the sanctuary cities, the blue cities, because that's where most of the criminal illegals are located. And it's going to be a death trap to be in a lot of those cities. But you can expect attacks on infrastructure all over the country. There will be deliberate attacks by radical leftists and these occupying forces on power, substations and refineries, bridges, transportation, ports, water treatment. What else? Airports. Oh, yeah. Don't forget, they have some number of surface-to-air missiles, in addition to a much larger number of RPGs and mortars and, of course, explosive vests and full auto weapons and night vision and things like that. So you're going to see organized raids of illegals, armed illegals, attacking and carrying out mass extermination of police departments, for example, or sheriff's departments. They're going to sweep in and just try to wipe out all the law enforcement in a given area so they can then have control over that area while achieving mass chaos. That's going to happen. So that's all point number three. This is going to be a civil war, not North versus South, but from every sector within the United States, from every town, every county. You're going to have a civil war element, an insurrection revolt that is intent on carrying out acts of terrorism against the United States of America by taking down our infrastructure, taking down our law enforcement, and trying to take down Trump as president. And of course, also anytime they get a chance to shoot Christians or white people or Trump supporters or Second Amendment people, you know, they're going to take that opportunity and exterminate as many people as they can. I've described this as, well, you know how Hamas did the October 7th attack on the Israeli kibbutzes? That's nothing compared to what's coming in America. Consider it to be like Hamas times 1,000 in every county across America all on the same day. That's what's coming. And most of the American people will just be taken by total surprise. They will have no idea what's happening. But it will be the veterans and law enforcement, both active duty and retired, and also, you know, preppers and SWAT team members and so on, just people who own firearms and who want to survive, who will do what, you know, Patrick Swayze did in Red Dawn. They'll start organizing local resistance to fight against the invading force, except the invaders won't be parachuting out of the sky like in that movie. They're going to be activating right there locally, right on the ground, right in the streets and the town square right in front of you. And they're just going to set fire to everything and bomb everything and blow up everything. And you know, it's the go time for the terrorists to try to take down America. That's all point number three. All right, point number four. Trump will be forced to declare, of course, a major national emergency. Sometimes we use the term martial law, but that's not really the correct term because martial law means the military is in charge. But in a general sense, I'm going to call it martial law because we're talking about, you know, curfews and lockdowns and ultimately military checkpoints in the cities, on the roads, on the highways, and so on. You're going to see America turned into a battlefield, the kind of battlefield that you might have only seen in places like, you know, Israel versus Lebanon or Israel versus Gaza. That's coming to America. It's going to be a war zone, and the American people are not ready for this, but Trump is going to be put in this position. He's going to be forced into this, not by his choice, but by design, so that then the left can claim, well, Trump is a dictator now. He's declared himself to be a military dictator, and look, he's got soldiers on the streets. Yeah, well, you're going to need soldiers on the streets because you have all these damned terrorists trying to rip our country apart from within, by the way. And I've said this many times, even years ago. I said, when the day comes that Trump has to declare, you know, the insurrection is on and there's going to be martial law, when that day comes, you're going to beg for it. You're not going to resist it. You're going to be begging for it because the chaos will be so bad and our streets will be so dangerous. You will beg for military involvement. Even it might be, you know, State Guard, National Guard type of military, but you're going to beg for the military to come in and try to restore law and order. That's how crazy things are going to get. So that's all point number four. Now, during that, don't forget, the cities are going to burn. Don't forget that there will be major armed uprisings from the radical leftists, from the occupying enemy forces, the illegals that have been staged here from the People's Liberation Army, and some terrorists from certain Middle Eastern countries, and, you know, maybe a few America haters from Russia as well. You know, it's going to be this hodgepodge of anti-American terrorists that are already here, and they're going to be activated, and they're just going to go to their, you know, pre-planned locations. They'll be texted GPS coordinates or whatever. Go here, open this door at the storage facility, and inside you're going to find, you know, like 50,000 rounds of 50 caliber ammo, and a gun. Oh, guess what? There's a 50 caliber gun right there. And they'll be given instructions, you know, take the gun to this point and shoot up this police station, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's going to be a full-on war against America. Now, I just want to have a disclaimer here. This is a worst-case scenario I'm describing. I hope none of this happens. I pray that it doesn't happen, but I guarantee you that if Trump wins the election and is put back into the White House, there's nothing the left won't do to try to destroy America at that moment, because they know that Trump won't hold back in his third term. Trump will go for the throat of these anti-American traitors. And Trump will secure the border. Trump will deport millions of illegals. Trump will shut down the human trafficking trade. And the left can't stomach that. They need the illegals to win elections. They need the chaos. They need the drug trafficking, the human trafficking. They need open borders in order for them to survive. So they will go all out. This will be a last ditch, Hail Mary, desperate attempt by the radical left to overthrow America from within. And Trump will be in the White House trying to navigate this. And he's going to bring back some key people from his first administration, by the way, a few of them. Hopefully not all the backstabbers and traitors like Jeff Sessions, and certainly not Mike Pence, thank God. But real Americans are going to come back in. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, like Colonel Tony Schaefer, for example. People like that. And maybe, Douglas McGregor. People who can actually advise with a sense of reason and patriotism with a lot of military experience. You know, that's who Trump needs to bring back in. But those people are going to be busy, busy, busy trying to protect America from what's happening. Now, during all of this, by the way, this is point number five. During this chaos, the anti-American elements of the deep state working with the globalists, they pull the plug on the whole damn system. This will be some sort of cyber attack, false flag, probably something to be blamed on Russia or blamed on China or North Korea. The narrative is already being pushed out there. They're already dropping those names, like pre-blaming America's enemies for what's going to happen. This is either going to be an EMP weapon or a cyber attack takedown of the banking system or the power grid, or maybe some combination of those things. One way or another, the power grid is probably coming down. And the banking system is coming down because, of course, if the power grid goes down, you know, the banking system falls. When the banking system craters, then you're going to have the great taking, as George Webb has been describing in his documentary. The great taking is this mass confiscation of all the assets, the bank accounts, the stocks, the treasuries, you know, even property like your vehicle, your home, your land, mass confiscation. The assets of most Americans will be taken over by this corrupt criminal banking cartel system. Millions of Americans will be left absolutely penniless. Even those who used to be wealthy, they will have nothing because they didn't buy enough gold and silver, you know. They'll be left with nothing. And this will be used as the great reset to try to force people into CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, where the government can spy on you and your financial transactions and, you know, limit you on how you can spend your money and things like that. Oh, they can also have automatic taxation. What a wonderful thing. You don't have to calculate taxes anymore. They'll just take everything from you and call it even. Right. Okay, so then point number six is following this chaos attack, whatever this looks like, EMP, grid down, banking collapse, then the United States of America is going to be plunged into just total chaos at that point. The cities will be death zones. Law and order will completely vanish. Police won't even try to maintain law and order in these sanctuary cities. The criminal elements, mostly illegals and drug traffickers, human traffickers, and so on, they will run the cities. LA will be taken over by criminal gangs. It's almost at that point right now, certain parts of it, but you know, law enforcement will just evacuate and basically wall off sections and say, oh, that's a no-go zone. We're not even going to try. Downtown Seattle, unlivable. Downtown Portland, Chicago, even places like Denver. You know, oh, they want to keep Trump off the ballot. Well, you know, guess what? There are consequences. Your cities will burn because you invited illegals to come in and you defunded police. You abandoned the rule of law. Guess what? There are consequences for that. Your cities will burn. New York City, Mayor Eric Adams, I'm almost starting to feel sorry for the guy because he inherited this nightmare and he's been kind of honest about it. He says New York City will be utterly destroyed by illegal immigration. Yeah, America will be destroyed by illegal immigration if we don't stop it. I mean, welcome to the club, pal. How do you think we feel about it here in Texas? Why do you think Governor Abbott is sending you tens of thousands of illegals, unloading them by the busload in New York City? It's just so you get a little small, tiny taste of what we deal with every day in Texas, by the way. Same for Mayor Johnson in Chicago. You know, same for Gruesome Newsom out in California. Guess what? We got about 100,000 criminal illegal felons that were emptied out of the prisons in Venezuela coming to your doorstep in San Francisco and Los Angeles and all your other California sanctuary cities. They will burn because you refuse to fund police and you refuse to enforce the law. We're just going to bus them all out of Texas and put them on your doorstep. So this is the scenario that is shaping up. This is why elite people, wealthy, you know, like Mark Zuckerberg, this is why they're building massive $50 million bunkers. This is why people are planning to live underground for a year or two while this whole situation unfolds, because America is going to become a battleground. And I can tell you who's going to survive this. It's not just the lone wolf prepper, although that will give you some time and some buffer. It's going to be the local communities that organize a defense against the looters, the criminals, the cartels, the gangs. You know, law enforcement as you know it will cease to function, and it's going to have to be sort of reborn at the local level, where you'll have, yeah, some members of current law enforcement, but also local people. You'll have veterans, you'll have, you know, retired cops, retired SWAT, you'll have preppers and maybe some militia guys, and you'll have hunters and self-defense experts and whatever. And they're all going to get together and say, hey, do we want to have a city here or not? Do we want to have a community or not? And if we want to have a community here, then here's how it's going to work. We're going to have to protect, you know, transportation. We're going to have to set up barter. This is going to be the barter area. People can come and go. We're going to have a monetary exchange system. You know, it's going to be gold and silver, maybe gold backs, maybe garden seeds, ammo. It's going to be a barter economy, or maybe the state will issue a new currency. You know, but we're going to have to keep the streets safe. Otherwise, we all starve and we all die. We have to be able to trade with each other. You know, somebody's got garden seeds, somebody else has cow's milk, somebody knows how to weld. You know, you get the idea. This person over here has a sewing machine. That's me. We'll sew for food. You know, I'll be holding up a sign. I used to be called the health ranger. Now we'll sew for food. You're going to have all kinds of barter taking place. And even so, you're going to have people who try to steal and loot, and they're going to end up being shot and killed for the most part. The pedophiles are going to be just shot and killed. You know, these local communities, they're not going to put up with pedophiles, and, you know, child stalkers and child traffickers. If you get caught trafficking children in that scenario, you know, your lifespan is about 60 seconds. And I guess some people would argue that's the way it should be. I don't know. That's up to you to decide what you think. I'm just saying that in an emergency situation, the normal rules of due process are really kind of, you know, truncated. It's like your due process might be, you know, what are you doing with this van with, you know, three children in here who are crying and sobbing and look like they've been raped? You know, you have 15 seconds to explain what you're doing here, and it's probably not going to work. You know what I mean? And you can't blame law enforcement for sort of being in a hurry to deal out justice in a collapse survival situation, because, you know, we're talking about, in this scenario, we're talking about the deaths of, you know, tens of millions of Americans, if not a lot more. This starts to get into the Deagle.com numbers range, which had anticipated, I think, a 70% reduction in the U.S. population by the end of 2025. Now, nobody knows for sure where Deagle got those numbers and why they removed those numbers from their website. It's almost an urban legend now to think about, you know, what the population might be after all this. But I can tell you that with an EMP attack or a grid down scenario, the die-off rate is, according to government-funded reports, is about 90% within about 18 months. So 9 out of 10 people won't make it. And you can imagine that most of those 9 out of 10 people are going to be the people in the cities that are burning. You know, people who mock preppers, people who have no firearms. They don't even know what to do with a Glock. I mean, and that's the simplest handgun imaginable. There's not even a safety on it. It's just like rack the slide, pull the trigger, you know? They don't even know how to do that. It's complicated. What do you do with this clip? They'll call it a clip. It's not a clip. It's a magazine. And if you don't know, forget it. Just good luck. But the non-preppers are going to be lucky to survive this. And even those who are well-prepared are going to have to create strong local communities. You're going to have to grow food. You're going to have, you know, security. You're going to have emergency medicine. You're going to have some type of comms. You're going to have a monetary exchange system. You know, if you don't have these things, it's just not going to work. Let me actually plug something here, because I often fail to do this. But in terms of monetary exchange, of course, there's gold and silver, and junk silver coins are highly recognizable. They'll be used by a lot of people for, you know, small payments. And our sponsor in that space is the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. If you want to get physical gold and silver into your hands, just go to the following website, metalswithmike.com, and they can get you gold and silver. I do not earn a commission on that at all. They pay us a fee to be mentioned, and so they help support our platform, and I'm mentioning them. But they do a great job. I mean, if I got complaints about them, I would not plug them. They do a great job. And they have for many, many years. I trust them. I've made purchases with them, and they've helped a lot of our members and listeners, you know, shore up their gold and silver. And by the way, I don't urge speculation. I'm not here telling you that gold's going to go to $5,000 an ounce. I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I'm just saying when the grid goes down and the banks fail and the dollar fails, you're going to need something other than, you know, a dead bank account. If you want to barter for food, you're going to need gold and silver. But there's another innovative form of gold called goldbacks that I got turned on to by my friend Robert Scott Bell. And then I did a bunch of laboratory testing on the goldbacks. These are sort of the shape of bills, but they're embedded with physical gold inside them. I mean, they actually have physical gold, and you can get them in denominations of 1 or 5 or 10 and so on. And that means 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. It's 24 karat gold in the bill. And the 10 has 10 1/1000ths of an ounce, right? And they have a 25 and a 50. That's 50 1/1000ths of an ounce of gold, which is actually quite a lot of gold. It's a pretty thick, heavy bill. So I did all the lab testing on these. I got a bunch of these goldbacks and I melted them down. I used a kiln and I did a gravimetric analysis and I got recoveries out of them of over 100% of the gold, typically 102 to about 105% of the claimed amount of gold. And then I took that gold into my lab and I did an ICP-MS mass spec analysis of the gold to determine the purity of it. And I found out it's greater than 24 karat gold. So I did all this test and I actually show you all the evidence with all the photographs and the lab test results at the following website, verifiedgoldbacks.com. If you want to get goldbacks, because it's divisible gold, it's spendable gold, it's high utility, you can use these immediately in a collapse, after a collapse, and the gold is in the bill, but it's spendable. You know, you can actually pay somebody 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. Here it is. Just hand them this gold back. So it has very high utility. And that's what makes it different from just gold coins or silver coins. You can find out more details about this at verifiedgoldbacks.com. That is an affiliate site. I do earn, my company earns a small commission at no additional cost to you if you decide to purchase there. But I'm committed to continuing to destroy some goldbacks in order to do ongoing testing of the gold content and the gold purity. And, you know, plus they help support our platforms with a little bit of your purchase price. So just check that out. If that's of interest to you, there is a premium on those over the price of gold. And that premium reflects the additional utility and the divisibility of the goldback form. But if you just want ounces of gold, it's actually cheaper to buy gold coins. If you want high utility, high divisibility gold, then check out goldbacks. And again, the website for that is verifiedgoldbacks.com. You can see all my lab testing. I had a lot of fun with that, melting down goldbacks. And you should see the gold foil. I show you a picture of it in my hand. You get gold foil when you melt them at 800 degrees Celsius. It burns off all the polymers and it just leaves this gold foil. And then that's the first burn. And then the second burn, I melted at 1100 degrees Celsius. And then that foil melts into a BB, like a little gold sphere. And I show you those pictures as well. It's amazing that, you know, gold, you can hammer gold into a very thin foil. And you can have gold cover a very large area, even from a very small amount of gold, because it's so malleable. It's one of the amazing properties of gold. But you can take a giant piece of thin gold foil, and if you melt it down, it's just a little tiny, like the size of a BB. Anyway, I show you those photos there. My point is, you know, whether or not gold and silver are right for you, you know, do your own research, do what's right for you. But I believe that we have to have redundant backup plans for what's coming. I mean, obviously, I believe this because I'm a prepper and I have been for more than 2 decades, and I still don't think that I'm ready for what's coming. Now, the scenario that I outlined here in this podcast, admittedly, this is a worst case scenario. I hope it doesn't come to this. And there are many opportunities for this whole plan to be halted. You know, there are lots of ways for the plan to stop. And, you know, thank God we still have people in America who care about this country. And there are some people even in government that still care about this country. And there are some good people even inside the FBI, believe it or not. There are some good people, for sure, I know, inside military intelligence. There are some good people in the DOJ. There are a lot of people who they hated Trump and now they want him back. Yeah, a lot of people like that inside the DOJ, inside the FBI, inside the so-called deep state. There are people who, looking back on the Trump days versus the Biden days, even though they voted for Biden, now they wish they could take that vote back. Not that it mattered because the votes were all rigged anyway, but they wish they could have Trump back at this point. You know, it was so much better under Trump. But the left can't stand that. And so they will run Operation Chaos at a level of insanity that's almost unimaginable. I want to summarize this by saying that if the worst case scenario unfolds as I currently see it, which again is subject to change, you know, maybe it'll get better. Maybe this won't happen. But if it does unfold in this way, you're going to be living in a war zone that is unrecognizable as the United States of America. You won't even recognize the country. You'll be asking yourself, is this even America? Is this the town where I live? Is this, you know, the neighborhood? You won't recognize it. And you'll be desperate to bring back the America that you once knew. Together, though, as we survive this and we navigate this, which is one reason why I promote survival and preparedness and, you know, unabashedly promote solutions that can help you live through this. And once we do that, then I think we can defeat these anti-American forces. I think we can deport the violent criminal illegals. I think we can defeat the election rigging of the Democrats. And I support Trump arresting all those who carried out these acts of treason against him, which goes back, by the way, to, you know, from 2016 on, all these people that took part in these treasonous acts. I mean, Hillary Clinton committed treason at so many levels. John McCain was part of it. The Trump dossier. I mean, he's already dead, burning in hell, no doubt, but he should be arrested for treason. They should just dig him up, just like arrest John McCain's zombie body for treason and, you know, just correct the historical record to show what a traitor that guy was, in my opinion. But Trump should go all out, and he should just frankly declare an insurrection, like an 8-year insurrection, a real insurrection. I mean, look at these Democrats. They're trying to take Trump off the ballot. They just did it in Maine. They did it in Colorado. I mean, those are acts of insurrection. That's the real insurrection. Not to mention that January 6th was all staged. It was run by the FBI and, you know, Nancy Pelosi, who's another form of traitor against the U.S., in my opinion. I think that if we get Trump back into office on this, then Trump should invoke every emergency power at his disposal to round up and arrest the traitors and prosecute them. I mean, we're done playing patty cake here, right? We're done with the games. This is do or die time for the nation, for our constitutional republic. If we don't stop the damage to America, we're done for. The nation won't survive. And even now, it's going to be tough to survive all this. We're going to have to probably fight like hell against the anti-America forces, you know, the invaders, the occupying enemies that are trying to carry out sabotage and mass murder and whatever else they're doing. We're going to have to fight like hell to defeat them. But I believe we can do that. I really do. I think the anti-American forces have underestimated the spirit, the resolve, the courage of the American people and the number of firearms that people own, by the way, which is something like 500 million. Yeah, there's not even 500 million people in America, but there are 500 million firearms. That means you can probably have one gun for each hand and maybe two more in your toes as well. You can be like pew, 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 quadrubang. Just like 0.4 guns at the enemies. That's a joke, but I'm just saying you better be ready for the total collapse of society as you know it. because that's how things are currently shaping up. If Trump wins the election, once he wins, man, the left is going to just go full-blown civil war, purge, revolt. They're going to try to tear down the whole damn system. And that's probably a good reason to vote for Trump, actually. Because why should you live under these people that always threaten to destroy your society if you don't give them what they want? I mean, they've censored us. You know, they've criminalized Trump supporters. Look what they did to Rudy Giuliani, man. Look what they did to Roger Stone. Look what they did to Alex Jones. This is all off the charts, total criminal behavior by the powers that be to try to halt anybody that supports President Trump. Look what they've done to me. Taking me off every single platform. You can't even share Brighteon.com links on Twitter. Even with Elon Musk being a so-called free speech champion, how come you can't link to my video on Twitter? Well, X now. How come? And you certainly can't share my videos on, you know, Facebook or any place like that. I was banned from Vimeo. We were banned from Pinterest. I mean, couldn't even put snapshots on Pinterest. We have been utterly attacked and silenced because these radical Marxist, leftist, anti-American lunatics, they despise freedom. They hate elections. They hate the Constitution. They hate America. And they hate Trump. And they hate you and me and every Christian and every firearms owner and every member of law enforcement and every veteran. They hate all of us. And they can't wait to just mass murder us if they can get away with it. And that's coming within the next 2 years, 24 months. Very likely the whole scenario that I laid out for you here, if it happens, it's going to be, you know, right after the election. And that's going to make 2025 the craziest year that any of us have ever lived through. Battlefield America. So let us hope and pray it doesn't come to that, but you know the Democrats will stop at nothing. Look at their desperation right now. Look at it. They're just removing Trump from the ballot. And just brazen, total attack on democracy. They're not even pretending that you get to vote anymore. They're just saying you can only vote for the people that we allow you to vote for. And who is that, a brain-dead zombie named Joe Biden or some totally corrupt, you know, Jeffrey Epstein client? It probably has a whole portfolio of like either banging children or giving hand jobs to goats or something. Who knows what kind of tapes they have on these people? I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. There's a bunch of twisted ass perverts out there that are governors and senators. And then there are lunatics like Lindsey Graham, like John McCain 2.0. We are in deep trouble here, folks. So just understand, I'm not advocating any kind of violence. I'm only advocating, you know, peaceful preparedness, community level readiness. I support law enforcement and the rule of law. I support America, the Constitution, due process, secure borders, and civil society. I support civil liberties and human rights. But all these things are under attack right now by the radical left, which means we're going to have to defend all those principles I just mentioned if we defend our country at all. We got to defend those things. You're not going to be able to defend it by sitting on your butt just watching CNN or listening to NPR brainwashing. We're going to have to get active peacefully with determination, and we're going to have to organize locally for what's coming because it's not pretty. But thank you for listening and thank you for your support. Whether you agree or disagree with my analysis here, that's totally up to you. I will tell you that this analysis is based on some very high level contacts, information, interviews, and a lot of off the record comments and people I know, and then some connecting of the dots. And this is my conclusion. And oh, by the way, if you haven't seen my recent interview with Steve Quayle, it was just released recently. It's called Red Sea Massacre. It's on my channel on Brighteon.com. It's also on Rumble. You should watch that. It's about a 2-hour interview. Steve Quayle and I cover some of this, but also what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening with Ukraine, global supply chain collapse, the failure of the U.S. Navy, the failure of the dollar, you know, the BRICS currencies and global de-dollarization and so much more. Definitely check out that interview. Again, it's called Red Sea Massacre. It just came out a few days ago. But thank you for your support. Mike Adams here, naturalnews.com, brighteon.com. I'll be back with you with some special reports this weekend, God willing. And be safe, okay? Be safe on New Year's Eve coming up. Be cool. Stay off the roads. Stay away from all the drunk drivers and all the alcohol and drug use out there. You know, be cool. Keep your head on straight and get ready for 2024. It's going to be a crazy year. Thank you for listening. Take care. All right, back in stock at the Health Ranger store, we now have our certified organic lab tested milk powder and also our coconut milk products. Again, both back in stock. I've got some on my desk. Can you show that? There we go. We've got milk powder in number 10 cans, which are really great for long-term storage. Also completely rodent-proof there. We also have milk, that is cow's milk, in the pouches. And then we have coconut milk powder as well for those of you who want that option. I use both of these. These are great long-term storable items, great barter items. They're both available at healthrangerstore.com along with hundreds of other products that we have there. Check this out. We also have our new organic super anthocyanins powder, which is great. I mean, this is a blend of six organic berry and vegetable powders. It's high in anthocyanins, which are the purple pigment molecules that have extraordinary properties for supporting your health. Also, of course, lab tested for glyphosate and heavy metals and more. And then if you go through the website, you'll see all these other products that we have. Freeze-dried beet juice powder, organic nascent atomic iodine that's in organic glycerin, by the way. It makes it more tasty for people. Here's our organic vanilla bean powder, like the real vanilla bean powder, not make-believe fantasy artificial vanilla flavors. And then we have this new Hydrate Elementals, which is organic coconut water with aquamin, which is a very popular mineral supplement. And this has great benefits. You can read about that and much more, collagen peptides and so on. All of this at healthrangerstore.com, where we do more in-house lab testing of our own products than any company in the world, any retailer, you know, any e-commerce company on the planet. We do more rigorous testing with our in-house lab. And that way we can bring you clean foods and supplements, things that we know to be clean, and almost everything certified organic as well. So check it all out, and thank you for your support at healthrangerstore.com. Take care.